This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning to you. On this Tuesday morning, the start of the fourth month of the year, April 1st, April Fools, 40th anniversary of Nova beating Georgetown, and an off day for the Fightin' Phils. They'll get back at it tomorrow, 3-1 out of the gate. Good morning, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. We got Ruben in studio, Sal Cerea, and wonderful to be with you as well. So here's something that's not so wonderful unless it turns out to be worth it. Now, time will tell. City of Philadelphia has messed up a lot over the years, but an area where Ruben and I live is under major construction. Mm. I'm a little closer to it than Ruben, but it's major, major. They're finally tackling the Penn's Landing thing, which got hurt years ago by the, you know, I-95 thing. And, like, we should have a freaking waterfront that is glorious.
The way, amen.
The way Baltimore does, DC has.
Yes, we should.
All
San
sorts
Francisco.
Of,
San Fran,
with the pier and all
ball,
that.
Yeah.
I've often wondered, why can't we get this?
Well, there hasn't been parking. Well, yeah, well, that was a whole other thing. Yeah.
They would have to build out infrastructure and all
that. The infrastructure wasn't there at the time.
I'll tell you.
It still isn't there.
Water.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's
canoes
out there.
It would be like Pittsburgh, but like 20-fold.
All right, so here's the deal. We do have we don't have a shot to get a ballpark move there now, but we do have a shot for a beautiful waterfront. What goes into it is a lot of construction, and they're finally tackling it. Check this out. They're closing one of the ramps to I-95 at the circle there. It's right by where I live. Okay, and by the way, the name of the circle. Let me look this up here. Is Lombard Circle. All right. It's right where the chart house is and all that stuff.
Right.
That ramp is going to be closed, John, for 2 years.
Jeez.
That hurts.
So here's my point.
It's a lot.
It better end up good.
Yes.
A 2-year closing.
Have you seen the renderings of it?
I've seen some of them, yes.
Penn's Landing.
It's like the High Line in New York, kind of, is what they're going for.
Yeah. I mean, let's rock and roll, guys.
But it's much wider than that,
I think.
Let's do it. I think it's pretty... pretty special.
It looks awesome. It looks so cool.
If they do it right, it looks awesome. Yeah, By the way, the 2-year closing of that one ramp, not that big a deal. You go one street, there's another ramp on the 95. It's the damn weirdest thing ever. Who in the hell constructed it for the same road in the same direction going north, one street apart? It's weird. Anyway, we'll survive.
Engineers.
Unbelievable.
Engineers. We will survive.
So what's the proposal that I'm looking at? Looks amazing. Yeah. I mean, just the proposal. Yeah. If they can get that,
let's hope they do it better than the Sixers with the Center City Arena.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would like them to work better on filling the holes in the streets. It's actually being constructed.
There you go. It's happening.
It has begun. All right, 215-592-9494.
Speaking of doing a better job, doing something right, did you do something right yesterday?
I wore my uniform.
Did Scott Fransky end up with a bottle of champagne prior to the season beginning, the home opener?
Oh, yeah, right. You had a chance to save it.
Yeah, it was a chance to save it.
The whole thing.
You know?
Right.
What's the question?
Did you save the season yesterday?
Yeah, yeah, that's the question.
Did I save the season? I wore the uniform. I got us off on a good foot.
This isn't sounding good.
Joe.
This is not sounding good.
The problem, right, it sounds like you're being obtuse here, quite honestly.
I kind of am.
I think it's very purposeful is what he's doing.
So the question is, yesterday you had a chance to give a bottle of champagne to Fransky.
To increase the chances for a championship after having given Merrill the bottle.
Because we know that,
yes. So you're asking, did I give Fransky the bottle of champagne?
Yes. Clearly that's what I'm asking.
To give the Phillies a chance to win the World Series.
How much do you care about your team is what we're asking.
Well, I also care about sleeping before the game.
Oh, wow.
No!
I had to have all weekend.
Oh!
Ruben, I had to get that nap in before the game. Well...
Wow.
The World Series.
So, no, I did not get him the champagne.
It's a small sacrifice, That was a very small sacrifice.
I'm sorry. I should have done it.
You should see how red his face is right now. You can see it on YouTube if you see how red his face is.
Hey, check out our show on YouTube. We are now on YouTube. We live.
Wow.
We hot. And apparently I'm red.
Wow, that apple's red.
Holy cow! Let me look at the camera. Do I look red?
I'm saying it's red. It's making it even redder.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh!
Uh-oh. All right, watch us on YouTube. By the way, also subscribe to Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube. Turn on notifications so you can see our show at any time. See it live as it happens or go back and watch it later in the day.
We're both.
Watch it twice.
Yes.
Watch it twice.
You might want to see that last
The Villanova-Georgetown game, Rhea, I will tell you, I think, just an estimate, because I was 7 years old when that game was played. Actually, six. I was six. 40 years later, I can tell you I've probably seen that at least 50 to 60 times.
I've probably seen it like 10.
50 to 60?
That's a lot.
I mean, we had it on tape, VHS, as a family growing up.
You know.
Ruben.
He's got siblings.
Yeah.
All four
of my siblings went to one school or the other. It was very complicated. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Oh, and by the way, shout out to the dude I met yesterday at the ballpark. Exact quote about Jack Fritz in baseball. Quote, Fritz is not that good. Thank you, sir. He said what you were hoping. And he said he played with him. Baseball or softball or some league. I don't know what it was.
He's never played with you.
He has not played with me. But a scouting report on Fritz, quote, not that good.
Broad.
Say it again?
Broad.
I thought you said broad. Was it a broad?
No, I said fraud.
We've already known that about Fritz. That's a given. Ruben, do you think if I beat him? Because I talked to Ike yesterday in a bathroom. And I said, Ike was intrigued by this idea, that Ruben, if Fritz loses the challenge to me with sports, his name has to come off their show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, he's such a big favorite.
Is your name going to come off our show?
What is your punishment if you lose?
I shouldn't have much.
Well, that's not going to fly. Why would Jack have any impetus to do this?
It should be equal and equal. He's like, in football terms, he's like a 17-point favorite.
Bro, you're the one who challenged him.
He didn't even say anything.
I didn't challenge him.
You're the one who said you were a better athlete.
I stated a fact.
You started this whole thing.
I don't challenge. Mike Tyson doesn't challenge people.
Oh, my God.
Unless Evander beat him, and then you got to try to fight him again, and you bite the ear. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jimmy in Lambertville. Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going?
Jimmy, I don't even know sometimes how it's going.
I like that Mike Tyson analogy.
What is wrong with this person?
Remind me to throw that one in a little bit more often.
No.
Prime Tyson.
You're not
Prime
Mike Tyson. No, you're not Prime Tyson.
No, I'm not, actually. No. That's the hammer I am. But
no.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I thought you were going to say something about your back hurting or something when that great Mike Tyson quote after the game, after the fight. But, I think the Birds with this push thing, it's a good thing they're running it, and they're running it more effectively than everybody else. It's just a shame, like, we never had anybody like Mike Alstott or Marshawn Lynch who could just bust through a line. I think one of the other callers a little while ago kind of said something like that. But,
By the way, quick aside, Jimmy, if the tush push had, and I'm glad the tush push existed because it helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I will say, if it didn't exist, Saquon really might have won the MVP.
Oh.
If you tack on 7 to 10 touchdowns.
Or more.
Seriously.
Oh, for sure.
Seriously,
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. It's exciting to me that if the tush push is banned, I do expect with A.J. Dillon in the fold, Saquon Barkley in the fold, we could have all sorts of creative short yardage and goal line looks to pummel people.
Plus still Jalen regular QB sneaks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, what if people back in the day wanted to, similar to like the amount of challenges a coach has, what if people wanted to introduce a limit to the amount of audibles Tom Brady or Peyton Manning would call because they were so effective at it at the line? You know,
sure.
You only get 10 audibles a game, Tom. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there's been so many other dominant people in the game. You know, the Eagles right now are just very dominant. The line is dominant. And Jalen, and with the help of everybody in his backfield, can get him across the line. It's just a shame that we're getting penalized for it.
And that's what this is. It feels like I don't think it'll happen this year. I do think the possibility exists that over the course of the next few years, those who really want this play taken away, they can rally the troops, so to speak. They can like pick off a few more owners year after year. And I do. It feels like they're going to target this owners meeting because this is your best shot to get it taken away.
Well,
people who really don't know, you could sway these votes, I think.
It could depend on the Eagles' success or not moving forward, John. Because I am really struck. Look, you guys know I think it should be struck down. But I don't like the methodology in which it's being attacked by. And I do think the fact that the Eagles just won the Super Bowl is a huge part of it. I mean, I'm struck by
doubt.
It's 3 years in a row. It's come up. It's never been, the conversation's never been this forceful. Where maybe it is about to be struck down, and I think there's a direct correlation from the Eagles having won the Super Bowl to this thing being challenged to this level. And I don't think that's right. That's not the way sports should work. Jimmy, give me an answer, my man. Who or what is foolish?
I think besides anyone in this owners' meeting voting against the Tush Push, I think anyone who isn't a comedian who tries to tell a comedian a joke.
Tries to talk comedians foolish. What?
Tell a comedian anyone? A joke, he said.
Oh. Yeah, telling a comedian a joke. I think that kind of doesn't always go over well. But
it depends on the quality of the joke.
Joe tries to tell jokes to comedians.
Well,
have you tried that?
I only know one. I mean, I don't know comedians. What do I know?
So you have? Do you know?
No,
comedians?
I've never told Conklin a joke. But I mean, I'm saying, how many comedians do I? I don't know comedians.
Yeah, I know.
What do I know?
Right.
All right, let's get to a couple more quotes.
They're not growing on every tree.
No, they're not.
And I'm not telling them a joke. That's for sure.
Generally, that is correct. All right, so more of what Howie said yesterday. And by the way, we're going to talk to Elliot coming up in about 10 minutes. Howie Roseman yesterday on the Saquon situation, a very succinct answer on Saquon getting an extension. This information, courtesy of Zach Berman, who transcribed this stuff. Howie Roseman on a Saquon extension. You ready for this reason? Quote, I think unique situations call for unique solutions.
Yeah.
Bang.
That makes sense.
Does make a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
All right, here's an interesting quote from Howie on the roster. Because obviously there's been, you know, decent amount of turnover so far. More guys out than in, or at least more good players out than in. Clearly. I mean, that's obvious. So Howie said this, quote, we're incomplete right now. You know, there's no doubt about it. Talent acquisition season has just started, and it goes for a long time. And we continue to try to find any possible ways to upgrade the depth and talent level of our team. Again, it just looks different than maybe it looked last year, when a big focus on that was probably in the free agent market. But being able to re-sign your own players, those are parts of what we're trying to get out in front of things. Obviously, when you lose good players, you want to replace them and will continue to look at ways. So, you know, an interesting comment in the very beginning when he says we're incomplete. Now listen, any team at this time to an extent is because the draft hasn't happened. But I think what he's saying is they feel more incomplete than most years, because they did lose more than they typically lose. And he also talked about, you know, we as a show have talked, because there have been reports about, are they in a cash bind? You know, we've wondered this. We've heard that they're not spending as much cash, not cap, but cash, as the past. And Howie was asked about that. Here's his quote. He said, Jeffrey is incredibly supportive and aggressive in what we want to do, and this is our vision on how to win our third Super Bowl. We have a bunch of young players that we'd like to retain. We have a lot of players on our current roster that we think are at the top of their game, and so we felt like this was the moment where we had to make some tough decisions with some guys that have meant a lot to this team. It was not a directive.
I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form.
I don't either. At the very end, he gets around to answering it, but I don't believe it either. So, Ruben, you'd be an example of someone who knows. You can't say publicly sometimes what you know privately to be true. I mean,
of course not. Right? I mean, it's part of being a politician and a GM. Yeah.
I mean, there are times where, you know, you would be told by David Montgomery, you know, your budget this year is X. You know, think prime Ryan Howard and Chase Utley years and big spending then. And then like 3 or 4 years later, when it was the beginning of a rebuild process, the budget was less than X. You're not going to say that, but we all could tell, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's always reasons for decisions that are made that people don't really see why. And sometimes it comes from the top. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, a mutually agreed upon, you know, thing. But you have to be a little political when you're dealing with the public. Yes, you want to be as open with the public as you can be, but there are certain things you have to hold back.
I'd also say, Ruben, Howie's really smooth at this. I mean, he's gotten much better as time's gone on. Not that he was ever bad, but I think he's gotten more comfortable with how to navigate these things.
We've had a lot of discussion. I mean, he's had a ton of experience at it now. But that's all part of the learning process for all of us who are running organizations is the messaging and understanding, one, your audience, and understanding, you know, your city and your organization and what kind of message you want to throw out there.
I always think
that's
of it
where,
this way.
That's where I think the Sixers have failed. I think the Sixers have failed.
Well, go ahead. So in what regard? Because I agree with you.
I just feel like, one, I don't think they're trustworthy. And that makes it difficult for the fans to sort of get on board. And you just don't see the same sort of honest messaging that I think that's something that the Philadelphia fan sort of needs to hear.
I agree. Ruben, here's the way I'd frame it. I've always thought, take a general manager. You got to message three ways when you talk publicly. You got to message up, because ultimately you do have a boss.
Yes.
You got to message down, because a GM's got a coach and players. And then you got to message out to a couple million fans. And that's not the easiest thing to navigate, but I agree with you. The Sixers are the worst at it that I've seen in a long time in Philly sports. The worst.
It hasn't been good for them, and hopefully they're learning from their mistakes, because everybody...
Well, they never seem to. They never seem to. So I don't have any hope that they will.
It's not easy, especially in a city like this that is so passionate about their sports.
Yeah, it's also not easy when you got your head up your hiney. Seltzer, is Daryl Morey coming on our show? Remember that thing a couple weeks ago?
I would say no. No.
Yeah, I would say no as well.
I don't think we're going to see Daryl.
I'll make another volley today.
Sure. That should go well.
Daryl Morey, what do you say? We'll see what he says.
He only does think tank things at MIT where no one will question him, and they'll chuckle along with everything he says.
And they'll think he's a genius with it.
Of course.
It's unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones.
There's one more thing Howie talked about with Adoree Jackson. You know, Howie gives you a little bit, you know, to chew on sometimes.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating. He told us Adoree Jackson probably hasn't played his best football yet. Adoree Jackson, who's been around. I mean, this is a big name guy. Former first round pick. Adoree Jackson, cornerback. You know, guys, we need cornerback, you know, veteran.
They got to figure out. They got to figure out the third and fourth guy. Who's the third and fourth corner?
He says, I don't think it's a secret. Probably still hasn't played his best ball yet. He's playing well and feeling like similar to some of the guys maybe we lost from a skill set, and we're trying to replace that. Always looking for speed and cover corners. He's saying he's extremely fast still.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal. I mean, you have to be fast to be able to run with these guys who run 4-3 at wide receiver. But this is a big... We have not talked about Adoree Jackson at all.
No, we haven't.
Not once.
No.
Adoree Jackson was a free agent ad. He's good. And Howie's telling us he hasn't played his best football yet.
You sure he's
they
not Devin?
They can
sure
coach
he's not,
him
not Devin White?
Better. Maybe. I doubt it.
I'm just saying, you never know.
We'll find out soon enough by Nick Fangio. He just won't play him.
That's true. All right, let's go down to Florida, where Elliot Short Parks is on the beat covering the NFL owners' meetings for us. Elliot is always brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well, bud. All right, so look, we got a lot to unpack with you. We know you just had an opportunity to hear from Nick Sirianni, and I think it was a pretty lengthy conversation there with Sirianni and the local and national reporters. Give us, let's just start with this. Let's just start with the tush push. What did he say?
Yeah, he defended it. He came out and he said, you know, there is enough doubt about the injury rate on the play, which is zero. But if there's enough injury rate, enough injury data on the play where he doesn't view it as a safety concern, he compared it a bunch of times to just a traditional quarterback sneak. He said they don't coach it up much different. And with that in mind, he said this play has been running since Bart Starr ran the play. So he was very defensive of the play. But he also said, look, if they have to run, you know, a more, I guess, traditional quarterback sneak, they'll be really good at that too because they have good players. So the sense I get is that it will not be banned today, but Nick certainly was defensive, I would say, of the idea it's unsafe for players.
So Nick seeming defensive, does it feel like the general consensus is that people do feel like the Eagles are being singled out for their success?
I would say there's certainly parts of, you know, at this point, every head coach, GM, and owner has been asked about it. So there's definitely a, you know, a wide array, I would say, of topics on the play. But yeah, I think that, you know, Mike Tomlin said yesterday they don't want to punish anybody for being successful. Mike Vrabel said something similar to that. New head coach Aaron Glenn said it's not their job to ban the play, it's their job to stop it. So I do think, again, we'll see when the vote takes place today, if the vote takes place. But I don't believe it will be banned today. I'd be surprised.
So, Elliot, one of the things that we're, you know, speculating on, it would be interesting to know, the coaches that are pro-keeping the tush push, do you think they would say that publicly if they knew their owner was going to vote against it? Or do you think when these coaches come out in support of keeping the tush push, that's an indication that Eagles fans can feel comfortable that team's owner will vote to keep it?
So I think it's a good point. I do think there's, you know, not a ton of benefit, as Sean McDermott's finding out, to coming out and fighting this battle publicly, right? Like, I think that's not going well for him. So maybe that's part of it. But, you know, even off podium, you know, just being at the Breakers the last few days, being at the party last night, I just don't get the sense that this is going to be voted to have the play banned. Now, one thing I would keep an eye out for today is there's a possibility they decide, or the commissioner decides, to move this vote to May. And if that happens, I think that's an indication that the commissioner wants this thing gone. So if there's a vote today, I think it will be to keep the tush push.
So he has the power to move it, and your inclination is he would do that if you felt like he wouldn't get the vote the way he wants it today, and he can move it a month?
Yeah, that's my understanding of how that would work. Yeah.
Well, interesting. What about the discussion? I thought they were discussing the timing of the push part. Wasn't that what was discussed yesterday?
So I do think one thing to kind of circle back to the idea that the vote could be moved is that, you know, this is only being discussed because the Packers submitted a rule proposal, and the way they phrase that rule proposal obviously has a lot to do with the vote on it, right? So a lot of the rule proposal from the Packers has to do with the immediate pushing of the quarterback. Now, we've watched the tush push. We can all see that you could argue what immediate means, right? Like, there, it's probably, I don't know, a full second maybe after the ball snapped. Does that count as immediate? And one thing Sean McDermott talked about, who's definitely been the most vocal critic of the play, is how the offensive lineman and defensive lineman collide into each other and the posture they're in. So I do think there is a world where because of the way the Packers proposal is worded, that maybe they take another swing at this thing in a few months if they feel like the immediate part of the push is not what gets people to vote against.
I think that's smart if they want it out, because I thought the Packers wording was frankly dumb.
It was not well done.
That was horribly, horrible the way they presented it. All right, Elliot, let's get to your exchange with Sean McDermott yesterday. A lot of people giving you big praise, and I'm one of them. I thought you did a really good job with the way you handled
this.
Thank you. Let's play the audio. Elliot and Sean McDermott yesterday, our own WIP reporter, going toe-to-toe with the Bills coach. Well, not quite, but it's good stuff. Here's McDermott and Elliot.
My position hasn't really changed at all. I feel Where I'm most concerned is, even though there's not significant data out there to this point, my biggest concern is the health and safety of the players, first and foremost.
What are you seeing with the health and safety of the players? Since, as you said, there is really no data to say there's injuries. Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you get in, it's two things. It's force, added force, number one, and then the posture of the players, you know, being asked to execute that type of play, that's where my concern comes in.
Do you think you'll continue to run the play if it remains and you have concerns about the safety? Do you think you'll continue to run it? Because I think you ran it quite a bit last year.
A form of it, right? A form of it. So I think that's it's a loose term, really, in terms of what defines a tush-push. So there's different forms of it out there. I know we are one of the teams that people identify that run it. That's fair. There's other teams as well. So I just, look, we're gonna always act in a way that's best for the health and safety of the players, and I think that's the responsible way to go.
You know, Elliot, I thought his methodology of describing why he's against it was really foolish, frankly.
Yeah, no, and like again, he acknowledges there. He starts one answer by saying, "Well, we don't run the same play," and then also goes, "Well, it's fair to say we run the same play." So, you know, I just think that, you know, he has no data and he runs it all the time. Like, I don't get why he would if those are going to be his main points against it.
How's it
doesn't...
a variation? Could someone ask him how their play is a variation of the tush push a tush push,
right,
per se?
Right.
He was asked that later on, and he just said to watch the tape, which tells me he doesn't really have a way to explain.
Nope.
You know, how it's different.
No.
But, you know, I will say in Sean McDermott's defense, like, I do. Just being there and being around him, I do think that he might have a legitimate concern about the safety of the player. I just think he's wrong, right? Like, I wish someone could get through to him and say, the play has been run a bunch of times and nobody's been hurt. So while you might have concern, and I get you want to be proactive in stopping it as opposed to reactive, like, the play has been run enough times where it is obvious no one's been hurt. Now, could someone get hurt on the tush push next year? Of course. Yeah. Someone could also get hurt on a punt return.
Yes.
You know, so,
yes.
Like, yeah, so I think his heart's in the right place, but... You know, the data is what the data is, and that's what Nick said today. Like, he knows what the data says,
exactly.
And the data says it is a safe play.
Well, yeah. And I have a problem with the fact that Sean McDermott continues to say things like the positioning of the players.
The,
like,
posturing.
The posture of the players is what worries him. Well, okay, if the posture is worrisome, like, this is football posture. Like, they're getting down, they're getting as low as possible, like, this is what coaches talk about. Low man wins. I know that this is as extreme as it possibly gets, but that's goal line and short yardage. That's by its very nature. You talk about, hey, just get lower than the other dude. This is the end result of that conversation, this play. And I don't understand. Yes, it is still a football play. It is still a very valuable football play. And I don't... I'm excited for the Eagles to be vilified. What is the word I'm looking for? To emerge victorious on the other end of this thing, because it does feel unfair that they're being scrutinized like this, and it does feel like we're being singled out.
Well, I agree with that. I think it is unfair. Like, I think it should go, but I don't like the reasons that they're being given. Elliot, do you think behind closed doors, key people, and some owners are more key than others because they can sway other owners, some of these long-tenured guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think some of the key owners are saying to the other owners, all right, guys, we know we're talking about injury publicly, and we know we're, you know, blah, 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 but, like, let's just get down to the brass tacks. We don't like the way it looks. We just don't think it looks good, and we want it out of the sport, and that's really the justification, and that's why you, Texans owners, should vote to strike this thing down. Do you think that conversation is happening privately, Elliot?
So I think there's probably part of that. But again, like, I don't get the sense that there is a large majority of people that are concerned with this play. It feels like more a vocal minority in terms of, you know, that actually wanting the play gone. So, yeah, I mean, that could be part of it for sure, just how it looks. But, you know, the flip side of that is if I'm the NFL and this is what we're going to spend all offseason talking about, that's probably not the end of the world either. Like, they probably don't mind that the main topic this offseason of all the things it potentially could be is just this, like, you know, this play. So I think that all things considered, they're probably not too concerned about it being a main topic.
All right, Elliot with us from Florida at the owners' meetings. By the way, if you want to respond to Sean McDermott and what he said, we'll take the Times Viewers calls in an hour. The best you can rebut Sean McDermott on Times Viewers at 215-238-4500. If you thought his commentary there was ridiculous. Times yours, 215-238-4500. Elliot, let's get to some other Eagles matters. Sirianni talked for a while this morning. What were a couple other highlights of what he talked about?
Yeah, so I asked him about his contract extension, and, you know, he said it's something he thinks will take care of itself. I think his contract, he will have a new one before week one, is the sense I get being down here. So I don't think he's super concerned about that. He talked about some of the new ideas on offense. He said they're going to be meeting with the Iowa State coaches, obviously the college, at one point. This offseason, he talked about how the new quarterback coach, as well as Kevin Petullo, you know, their job is to kind of make sure that they're not staying stale and finding new ideas and, you know, having the offense adjust. So there was that part of it. He talked about the loss of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and how, you know, obviously in the locker room and what he brought on the field with his swagger and his toughness. But he's expecting guys like Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean to step up. And I would say those three players on defense were the three he mentioned quite a bit over various answers when it came to who he wants the personality of the defense to kind of be. He mentioned Nolan Smith a bunch. He mentioned Nolan Smith directly when he was asked about Brandon Graham. So, yeah, I would say that was one takeaway. And then outside of that, you know, it was a lot of the Super Bowls in the past. This is about next year. He said at one point that the leaders on the offense or on the team work so hard that if you don't work hard, you will be exposed. So, yeah, definitely felt, you know, a bit like a turning of the page from the Super Bowl.
Elliot, has anyone talked about how much he's going to get paid, this new contract? Do we have any idea what he got paid or what he will get paid?
Well, the tough thing is these coaches' salaries aren't made public. So, yeah. You know, it's not like when we're talking about what Jalen will make where we can look around and say, okay, well, you know, Dak makes this, Josh Allen makes that. I would just say that considering his resume, considering he just won the Super Bowl, and honestly, considering that Jeffrey Lurie is known around the league as being one of the owners that pays really well, like the coordinators they have or had, I should say, with Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio were two of the highest paid coordinators in the league. So I do think that when this deal is done, it would be pretty surprising if Nick isn't one of the top paid head coaches in the league.
Elliot, what was your main impression from Howie Roseman yesterday? He talked yesterday. What stood out to you the most from him?
Yeah, so I would say the main takeaway from Howie, it was a lot of Chauncey talk, you know, and I think it's kind of what we've been talking about really since that trade happened and free agency began, which was I think they view the roster in three like sets. The top set is the guys like the AJs, Jalen, Devontae, Saquon, the high-paid guys, guys that are already making a lot of money. And then they have a large portion of the roster, or pretty large portion, of rookie guys that are on set deals that they know that they're going to have to pay next offseason. And so then that leaves the middle area. And that's why guys like Mekhi Becton, maybe they didn't pay because they're going to have to allocate money to these rookies. And in free agency, you saw them use an approach where they really didn't hand out a ton of money. So I think that with how successful they've been in the draft, and then again, having so many high paid players already, that middle part of the roster, you know, like 10, 15 spots, whatever it might be, we're probably going to see a lot of, you know, turnover, a lot of, I don't want to say bargain bin guys, but guys not on big deals because they have so much of the money allocated elsewhere. But the other kind of takeaway and sense I got was that, you know, me, you, we can sit here and say that, you know, safety is a problem. The cornerback, too, is a problem. I think they think that come training camp, they'll just trade for one if it's a problem. So I think there's still a lot of time. And the roster before week one, if there's an obvious hole, they have the assets to go out there and get a player if needed.
All right, Elliot, final thing. And again, this is Elliot from Florida at the owner's meeting. So the owner talks later today. Jeffrey Lurie. We only hear from him normally maybe once or twice, maybe three times a year.
Yeah.
So it'll be fascinating. What do you think he'll say if he is pressed on, are you looking to spend less cash than past years? Do you think he will acknowledge that reality or blow past it and act like it's a non-issue?
I think he will probably frame it, and I think this is mostly correct, like frame it as they spent a bunch of cash on guys already. They're going to spend a bunch of cash on guys that I think everybody would agree they want them to pay, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. So I think that's part of it. Like, I do completely understand the criticism or the concern that, hey, they're not spending this offseason. But I also firmly do believe it is because they have to pay a lot of guys next offseason. So my guess is that's how you'll see him frame it. And in his defense, like, he has been one of the top, you know, 2-3 spending owners over his time. So if we were talking about, you know, Josh Harris, who actually just walked by, like, then maybe I could see that being a criticism. But I do think Jeffrey has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to not, you know, being cheap.
Can you tell Josh Harris that either he or his general manager, Daryl Morey, should come on our show and answer for...
I'll try to track him down.
Does he get stink guy from everybody who walks by?
No, I mean, the other really rich owners like him a lot, you know? So I think... real quick, it is interesting to see what he'll vote on the Tush Push, by the way.
Wow.
In terms of just a PR standpoint, you know?
That is interesting. Man. Elliot, good work, buddy. Really nice job down there. Thanks, Elliot.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Talk to you guys
soon.
Boy, I hadn't thought about that. That would be another, you know.
Are the votes
another
public
thing that would... I don't know.
Some of the... It's kind of known.
It leaks.
Like,
yeah.
Some of the teams. I gave you the list earlier.
Yeah.
But the three teams that are known to be against it... Obviously the Bills, obviously the Packers because of their proposal. And shockingly, not shockingly, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which of these best describes how you will feel if the Tush Push gets banned? A, angry because it's not fair. B, you actually think it should be banned. Or C, that the birds will be fine no matter what. 215-592-9494. And I'll tell you, I thought by far the most interesting thing Elliot said to us, and we got to keep our eye on this for the next couple hours, the possibility that today the commissioner, Roger Goodell, could step in and say, we're not holding the vote. We're delaying it for a couple weeks into May because he wants to round up support to get more people to strike down the Tush Push and eliminate it from pro football. That's a wrinkle to this conversation we hadn't previously considered. Judd Cameron, John Ritchie, phone calls and all of it, plus the torpedo bats, what Ruben thinks of the future of Major League Baseball with torpedo bats, that and more. Rob Thompson weighed in yesterday as well. We hear it all next on 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars and live music, big-name entertainment, and a spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa doesn't stop. Start planning your getaway today. Visit theborgata.com for more details.